Yeah, that should, that should be coming yearly now.
From Gary at all?
But we're,
you know, is it, oh, is he, okay.
That makes it
in the future. I was going to say, and I think Kim reached out, and she's fighting traffic coming back, so it's, and like I say, I thought it was 1 minute spare. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When I came home, it was Tuesday. It took me 30 minutes to go 0.4 miles in Centerville. But South Davis Metro was there, but they had a car that was on its roof and had skidded into a wedge. And it was like, you know, the trunk was full size, the whole front end was like this, and I'm looking like, where is, like, the cab? Or, I mean, it was just like a four-door sedan, but I'm like, looking at it, like, where is the interior on this? It was awful. It was awful. Okay.
Mayor Mattson, can you hear us?
I know we can't.
Oh, thank you very much.
We're going to wait just another minute or two. I know I've got people just walking in, and, you know, it's... We've got crazy traffic and all that good stuff, so...
That's what I'm on.
Wait a minute. Good, the rapid shift. Yeah, was doing that. Well, I mean, just, you know, when you're coming straight from one to the... Oh, whoa.
Oh,
I'm gonna not do that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I'll
do
that. You didn't serve me
on that.
How are you? I just saw your name there, so I mean, you're close by.
I didn't even notice. I just told him I came in sat here, and then I realized I didn't even look. You seem to be on the
handle.
Is that a message?
I grabbed mine. I like to mix it up a little bit.
You're just like...
Yeah, we're like... You know, like, when you go to school, they make changes every so often. That's what we do.
You're just like...
You can't. We're lemmings. Elderly. We are creatures of habit, especially if you can't see very good. You just walk in and sit where you're supposed
to sit. Well, to be honest, I should make a chart so I remember it. Most times, I can't remember where everybody sits.
Wow,
now,
really
maybe it's in your own city. Assigned seating is a privilege here. It's like...
Everything points to you, that's what it's supposed to be.
Well, I'll enjoy it for a few more months and then be like, all right, coin flip next.
Yeah.
And nobody, I know you've got to take off.
I told you that.
I got some of that over.
I got lagged going through security today, and it was hilarious because they were really like going through, like, staring at the screen, and they couldn't figure it out. And Lady's like, ma'am, I'm going to need you to come sit around so I can go through your purse. I'm like, germ. And then she's like, oh, they're reading glasses. And I was like, what did this look like in the x-ray machine? Like,
anyone else like a pet?
Not
my. No, I was trying to cut that. I can list the lady's problem.
I thought the other bike would make it out here with just one.
No, I got that one.
This is the ingredient.
She's stuck in traffic on Legacy, but she said, go ahead and start, but she'll get here. Well, she texted me like a long time ago.
Yeah,
she was just like, well, it was like right after 5, so. Okay. We're good on recordings, and we've got Mayor. It was Mayor, welcome, by the way. It's good to have you here with us. Good to have you here. Okay, well, we will go ahead and get going then so we can get everybody home at a decent time. I just realized what I'm looking at here. See how well I do reading this evening. So, for the record then, we have a meeting of the NDFD Board Thursday, March 16, 2023. In attendance, we have Mayor Shepherd, Mayor Mattson via Zoom, Scott Wiggle, myself, Annette Judd, Mayor Vincent, Gary Peterson, and Vern Phipps. appreciate you being here. And then on our staff side, we're happy to have Jamie and Misty here with us. We have Chiefs Williams and Ecraft. We have unofficial visitors here as well. But we appreciate you being here this night. So for our work session, then we'll just hand it over to the Chiefs. We have just the introduction to the budget right here, and you had a chance to go through the introduction letter that was sent out with that from Child Richards, our CPA, with some information as far as some things to look at that, but we'll turn it over to you guys.
So, thank you, Chair. So, I was going to say welcome to January, February, March madness, as far as the tentative budget goes. I've talked with, we spoke with the budget committee and the chair, and we've been working behind the scenes trying to evaluate this economy we're in with the caveat of all the changes in the growth and everything that the district needs as well. And we've actually reached out to the professionals. Tonight we'll be talking about, can you guys see my cursor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The operations section. Next month we'll talk about capital projects and be giving the board some recommendations on our capital projects and our CIP plan, as well as our reserves and where we would recommend we be with reserves. Please interject if you have any questions during this presentation, because we welcome it. So this is in your packet. I reached out to Seth Olson with the Utah State Auditor's Office. He was surprised to see that a CFO was reaching out to the auditor's office, but he actually gave us a lot of good insight. And I highlighted here part of his email to me that said that the projection would be a minimum that should be budgeted. It would be reasonable to budget an average of prior year's collections or calculating the percentage difference from what it is on tax rates website and using that number. As a budget officer, your job is to budget the most accurate number possible and be able to explain how those budgeted numbers were calculated. Just for your information, while I was on the phone with him, he pulled us up on the state's website, on the tax website, and went through some of our past years and our collections or whatever, and he was seeing and agreed with some of the trends that the district has. Anyway, I reached out to him, and he gave us a lot of good insight. Anybody have any questions about my conversations with the state auditor?
Well, I think just, you highlighted the yellow part, but I think just, it's important to just note, this conversation began when you reached out saying, we're trying to look at the best ways to look at revenue projections on there.
Yeah.
And this, you know, the...
And another point, Chair, that was really good is he said that, which you guys know, the governing body can make adjustments to whatever they want to or whatever they deem appropriate. But I liked his, when he said it should follow a logical methodology. And that's what we've tried to approach our projections this year with a logical yet methodology of what we will actually will project revenues and expense wise. So, and do that most transparently with the projections that we have that we're going to be talking about. Trying to go to the next slide. Whoops.
Mayor, go ahead.
Is that full? Is that a full screen up there?
I don't think so.
No.
While you're pulling that up, let me just interject one other thing real quick. Oddly, like we just talked about in Clearfield, and it sounds like I'm hearing, you know, this is kind of the conversation across everywhere. As we're going into this budget season, cities, districts, everyone are trying to figure out what is the best way between the, you know, very prudent and reasonable tested method, which is you run extremely conservative. You go off of just basic, you know, what's been projected, or not projected, what's been promised. You stick with that. When you've got extra stuff, you know, that comes in above and beyond, you know, that's one time it's capital. You know, that's kind of the method that we've used, and it served the district very well. And it's, you know, on that side of the risk scale. The other side of it is a little bit more, I can't remember the word JJ used, aggressive, or not aggressive, results driven, which is if you look at how you balance just continuing to put money in capital when you have sustained yearly, you know, with being able to look at your needs for growth operationally, and where do you balance that risk benefit, where, you know, if you have this reversal in the economy or things like that, and that shifts, you don't get absolutely bit right now. So I think as we continue on this, I want to make sure it's really clear. The district is having the same conversation about should there be a shift policy-wise from where we have been to looking at taking some of this additional sustained property tax, and not property, it's mostly personal property tax that we've been seeing the overages on, but do we look at taking a little bit more of that and allowing us to look at that in operations? And if we do at all, what would that look like? What would be the most responsible way to do it? And what would be the guiding thoughts on that? So this letter then, you know, we just talked about the auditor's recommendation is, this is from Child Richards on there with their thoughts on and the findings that they had on that. So anyway, just...
Correct. And just to add to that, so with the history of the district and our taxes being all over the place like they've been in the past, it was the State Tax Commission and the State Auditor's Office and Child Richards said it's very common for municipalities to use a three-year rolling average of what you do. In fact, I'm not comparing us to Salt Lake County, but he used them as an example. They collect way more than they always get, and by statute, they have to budget for that. They can't just count it as overage. But that's a way bigger scenario. But the last 3 years, specifically the last two, we've collected a sizable amount more than what we had anticipated. And I would like your feedback. I kind of think I know maybe why, but I don't know. And Gary, I would like your input on this. I think what happened, possibly the stars aligned, and we dropped the county's levy, and we did that sizable tax increase with the projection at the time. And in 1 year's time, everybody's the district's valuation was double. I'm just rounding numbers. It went from 2.3 billion to almost 5 billion overnight. I haven't seen that the whole time I've been here. Now I know that they pushed our rate down, and we accepted the rate last year, the certified rate. But I think a lot of growth and everything fell through the cracks too, and that's why we keep getting this sizable difference. And that goes to personal property tax as well. Lifetime has millions of dollars worth of personal property tax in there, or whatever, and we're seeing this big sizable change shift. So with that, we said, hey, should we use a three-year rolling average, or should we just, we came up with a couple options, and both of these options have a different calculation depending on how the board sees fit to use them. But option one, 4.5 is what's promised by accepting the rate. And then adding the personal property tax that we actually physically collected, and then this year, I can't remember the exact project, but one of Clearfield's RDAs is coming out, and that's 60,000. So we counted the 60,000, and then we also get to minus that 60,000 out of our RDA contribution, and then projected growth for this year, 2023, that we're in. In 2024 that we're in, they said to project at least, they felt comfortable at least projecting 3% growth. So that came up with that 5.7 million. The other way, they used it, you know how taxes are collected on a calendar year versus a fiscal? So we're moving tax money back from July, August. Do you have a question?
No, I'm waving at Nancy.
Oh.
Welcoming her.
After we get our final payout in March, the end of March for the year, the collection's clear till August after the fiscal year end is like $400,000 or $500,000 more. We're on target for that this year. We're almost we've almost collected 100% of our property tax right now. We're just a little shy, and we still have like 5 months to go or so. So the projections look like they're still marching out in that direction. The only thing that so we didn't count the rolling average, which would be about 300 to 400 thousand, and actually we even counted 2020, which was a really low year compared to after we increased the rate. Are you guys following me okay? After we increased the rate, which if we wouldn't have counted that, our average would be even higher. But we were really conservative. We didn't count that. That with the wage study, and the wage study came out to 15% across the board, and it's actually a moving target as of today. We had Misty, was it South Davis Metro who called you? South Davis Metro called us, and they wanted to know what we're hypothetically looking at, and what our study showed, and they wouldn't share with you what they're doing, would they?
No, they said once it's final and it's adopted, then it'll be released.
That's nice of them.
Yeah. We can play hardball at the same.
Yeah. There's two ways to look at this in tonight's conversation. We have two kind of tentative budgets, option one and option two. One has one exactly calculating each employee for their position at what rate, and they range from, and you would see it when you go through it, they range from anywhere from 9 to 16 or 17%. The problem there is if you give, hypothetically, if we give a brand new firefighter, AEMT, if it calls for a 15% and it only calls for a 9% for our existing 10-year drivers, we start down this slippery slope of not that employee not thinking that they're going to get the same as a brand new firefighter.
Can I interject for a second?
Yeah.
It kind of causes compression with the different levels. Like I experienced this in Ogden where they didn't do raises for 8 years. And then they said, well, let's do one group, and then we'll do the group after that. And depending on the revenue, that was a promise. So you start this compression issue where you're given one group, typically the new guys, because you have what's called recruitment, and you're trying to retain. So it's really a battle. So I think the approach we're trying to take is to give the raises throughout and not cause a compression where at some point we're going to have to pay that certain group and amount. So that's kind of the approach that option one is we're trying to address.
Can I just clarify, make sure I remember right from our last conversation? Regardless of which direction you were to look at as far as wages increases, whether it was, you know, position by position or kind of an across the board, where would this put us as far as within our immediate departments, you know, Roy, Clinton, Layton, Syracuse, you know, the ones that we're losing to left and right, where does that, you know, like if this were to be implemented come July 1, where would that put us in the pecking order, at least as far as the wages with what we know now? Does that put us at the top? Is it put us in the middle? Where does that put us?
Misty, you can, it's number two, ain't it?
Number two to three out of six or seven.
Okay, so I mean, this isn't like taking us to the top to try and be competitive at an edge. This still is, you know, middle of the front runners, but
that's out of seven departments that we compared to.
And they're all,
we did that much in 1 year.
They're all here. I mean, we didn't do West Valley or any. They're all right here.
Right.
The one caveat to that is and I kind of agree with this too. I don't think it's going to keep doing this. I hope not, but I think it's going to level out. So in the wage scales, there's still a 3% in between them. If we ever get back to that, you know what I mean? I don't think the market's going to keep doing that, but I don't know.
So, a couple of comments on that. The irony of the ranking is that with current wages and every department is going through what we're going through right now and looking at increasing in next year. So, the question would be, where will we fall in July? And we don't know where we'll be in July because, you said, everybody is playing this game of chicken and say, well, how much is North Davis going to go? And then, you know, so that makes it a little more difficult, but still, I did a deep dive into that wage study, and I don't know how you could do it more fairly or accurately than it was. So, but maybe that's it's the best approach. And I'm a fan of, you know, I've thought a lot about it too, about the 15% because of the issues of that. The fire district is a little more dynamic than a commercial entity in that wages are public record. And so it's tough to not know that, you know, somebody I work with, I have no idea. I know how much of an increase I got. I have no idea the person sitting next to me. Well, firefighters, they can look in the minutes and find out how much everybody has.
Or they just talk at the hospital or whatever.
They just talk amongst themselves. It's a kind of rude. So, you know, the interesting thing would be, I like that idea, but maybe feel like you have a little bit of leeway to make some minor modifications. You know, maybe you look at this specific scenario and maybe, you get what I mean.
Yeah.
So I hate to say administratively, everybody gets 15% no matter what. Well, maybe there are some that, but I don't know about that.
They were, the study indicated that they were moving in all the positions pretty close to the same, not exactly the same. I'm not telling the board that they're exactly the same. There's some that are different, but it worries me that, like Chief Williams alluded to, if there's a discrepancy, what it causes with a retention of somebody that's a 10-year guy or whatever. So I'm not, you know, I'm hesitant to recommend doing something like that because I don't want to get us in this hamster wheel of, well, now that the paramedics are this and the, you know what I mean? But it's also driven by numbers and driven by other agencies. I can't, you know, it's out of our control as far as that goes. Gary?
Chief, I don't, this is like a good book with lots of things in it. Am I out of line if I know you have more to present, but what's the bottom line? And you've got several different budgetary methods here, so I'm not even sure this is a fair question, but is the current proposal recommending a tax increase?
No.
Okay. So that's helpful to understand how we're shifting the rocks around.
Yeah. The thing that so cutting to the chase, which we'll get to that, but
yeah.
I'll just, right now as it sits, it should be really an exciting night. I'm bringing the board, as of right now, a balanced budget, returning with either of these options, $190,000 to $200,000 to the general fund, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you. So. and about contributing about $220,000 to capital improvements and recommending to accept the rate.
When do we have to make our first payment on the bond for the building?
This year, in this budget.
Okay, that's in there too.
And that is, I know we're jumping around a little bit.
And I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, but
I just want the butler did it. I want
that,
to know.
That is not, this budget does not include any restricted funds or impact fee. But this budget is close to $900,000 more dollars than last year's budget. But full transparency, we should budget. That's how much we returned, a lot of money. We returned $1.3 million last year.
I have some comments, but I can wait until you're done because they're all applicable to where you've been going. They're not good or bad, just my own sometimes translation.
No, if you have anything to add to this, like where we're at, that would be great.
Well, you brought up several things, and I'll just talk about those. Which one first, right?
Yeah.
The way we budgeted in the past, and I don't think this is that different from that. There are just reasons for why you're budgeting this budget, and that's not a bad thing. But the variance of revenues over the years has created an interesting situation that you and I have dealt with forever, since you've been here. And it's made us budget fairly conservatively, and therefore, too, almost every time we end up with a surplus at the end, right? And that's nice. In fact, it's essential. And in fact, to that point, it's part of that surplus that we're able to make it so that we can actually build our building. If we didn't have that surplus, we wouldn't be there. We wouldn't be able to do that. So it is important that while we use some of that, that we do try to budget so that we do end up with some additional surplus, especially as the fire district grows. It needs working capital to meet the needs, and working capital increases as total revenues increase. But you're saying this budget has a couple hundred thousand dollars or sum that's in excess that would be returned to fund balance based on that, right?
Yep.
So that's really, so part of the reason you're looking at averaging it, in my mind, is so that we can try to not have so much of this and be realistic about the dollars coming in and not have as big of an excess at the end. Let's use it in our budget because it's coming in, but have a reasonable amount at the end. So I get that. I think that's okay. Did I say that right?
You did.
Before I get out of here, I agree with you. I mean, I think if it were better to use that, as long as we're still putting back
to that
rainy day fund and consistently putting that in there, using the other for operations makes sense. You know, we built that up, and that's been good. Like I said, we wouldn't be building a fire station if we didn't have that.
That's right. And the same with our impact fees that you said aren't included, and they shouldn't be because we're using them all. So,
I mean, we'll have other things coming, and that's great. But you're right. I mean, over the years, and we've been here forever, you know, it's this moving target forever to know where our income's going to be.
Yeah.
And we've done a good job of every single year putting, you know, last year more than we put probably in ages back into the pot. That it's a tough movement target. As long as we run that conservatively still, but use that, you know, other for operations, I think it's good. You know, because the other option is that if we don't, we have to increase taxes. We have to look at that at some point and say, well,
or cut the budget.
Yeah, we cut the budget, we increase taxes, but if we've got to do wage increases, and we've got to look at, and it happens on a regular basis, obviously. We only, if it's not there and we're not using it to budget for that, then we are actually going out and saying, okay, well, the only option now is to raise taxes again to pay our firefighters.
Too bad. I was surprised you didn't bring this up because the budget also includes
four more people.
That's
not my list.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Mark. So I understand where you're at. And the reality is, as far as the budget goes, if you are budgeting additional ambulance revenues because of the people that we're using, which is great, it seems to be working, and that we have more property tax, and there was a third item, just the growth, actually, in that projected growth. Those equate to about those numbers that you're talking about. That's great. That's awesome.
They equate to those numbers that not only myself, but third parties, and I hope the board, those projections are pretty conservative. They're not way out there. You know what I mean?
Well, and then our job is to make sure we have a good budget. That's been spelled out already in that way. Your job is to then meet that budget. And if there becomes if something didn't work well in those projections as we go along, then something else has to change. And it could become very uncomfortable. I don't think it'll happen, but at that point, that's your job.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And one of those is that you're talking about some new firefighters, and we've interjected at a point that hasn't even allowed you probably to talk about what that means, but there's an assumption that the board is on board with that, at least as the budget goes, and so you can talk more about that as we go. But I want to come back to the increase in revenues. One of the increase in revenues that we have, a kind of a one-time windfall that we've experienced, that's awesome, but it really had to do with, because of the paramedics coming on board and the switch rate that you were talking about with the county. And we raised our rate. We raised it at a time that was before the paramedic cost came up. So we actually received revenue without having to spend cost on it. And so we've tried to be very careful the last couple of years to not appropriate that excess to long-term things, because we knew we were going to have operating expenses with regards to the paramedics. At the same time, then, we had increase in values that you talked about. So our excess actually got bigger than we expected and has allowed some additional in this budget, but also paid for our paramedics. I think we're to the point we're fully funded and operational with paramedics, right, in the budget?
Yeah, I mean, they're personnel-wise, not certification-wise, we're still...
Yeah, looking. I just mean, because yeah. You're still paying for personnel, the right personnel.
Yeah, we've got, we hired 9 more people, yes.
Yeah, so that's in there. But I do want to make sure we all understand that was a one-time situation. It did bring us from a level here to a level here. It will stay here. It's not going to go back down. But we're not likely to receive that increase again in that way. And so we do have to be careful as we move forward that we're not trying to overextend ourselves. The additional firefighters make me a little nervous because of that, because not only a 15% increase, but additional firefighters. But I'll be waiting to listen about that. So anyway, that's my chiming in at this point. And the point that you've got different methods of calculating the revenues of the budget?
I've only got two. There's not a tax increase one in here. And there's not cutting service in here.
Right.
You know.
So. And I don't mind either one, because not because the bottom line does help to know that you're not expecting a tax increase. And the reason I ask that is it's like how far do we have to roll up the sleeves and how painful is it to get where we need to be. It helps with that part of the discussion. But as far as which method, part of me doesn't really care, because in the bottom line, you have to meet the budget. And I believe you were using good rationale to get there. I'm not putting that in question, but I understand what the budget shows. Budgets aren't perfect. They're estimates.
Well,
that's
like,
what you're doing. Like,
well, I was told, Chair, this is your plan. This is what we had from the past, and this is our plan for the future. Yep. And that's all we can...
That's it.
Well, and it was a reiteration going into it this year, too, that the board had really laid out some very clear guidelines around the timing of the building the station and the paramedics was a couple of things. This would be a significant enough tax rate jump that we needed to be able to go out to our residents and say, this was enough to handle these next couple of years of rolling out, where we weren't even looking at holding the rate. I mean, that this really had to get through. And you know, we've had the stars align, you know, that whole thing with valuations. You know, that there shouldn't be a reason to be going out when we got so much more than we even had calculated. And it's, you know, the valuations have been great. The inflation's gone with it. It's been lousy. But, I mean, it's there shouldn't be a reason to do that. The other thing on there was, too, was... show us how this balances and continues to return money to our general fund because we've got to keep doing that. We know that capital is going to be harder and harder to fund. We know apparatus, as our huge ticket items continue to grow right there. So, bring us your plan. We understand if how you put that together is a little bit different, but those were the two goals that haven't changed. So within that, what are the options? And even this one and two, one of them was from Child Richards, and it really just came down to if you're going to include a little bit of this additional, these higher numbers, how do you come up with how you calculate it, really? And Child Richards had one. I had one that was, I think, was a lot more conservative than that. But the CPAs, I'm going to, that was my shot of just the abundance of But of the abundance of but I'm going to defer to that over, mine was like Salt Lake County, for example, they take their three-year rolling average and that's what they use or whatever they project, collect. That's great. But yeah, Wendy, what do you do when we stop having these monster gains in valuations? I like the idea of, okay, if you're going to do a three-year rolling average, then how do you still buffer at one additional lever? And I was like, I wouldn't ever go above a third of even a three-year rolling average. Child Richard said, we are comfortable basing it on your projected growth rate and with your calculations on there. It puts us within, if you look at the differences, I think there's like $35,000. Yeah. They're really similar, but it's like, I'm going to lean on the CPA. I wanted to show that if you're going to go down this road, that you put two sets of brakes on that to really try and understand that it's been, really nice checks coming in the last couple of years. I don't anticipate that it's going to stay anywhere near that level. So how do you really buffer that in where it's not a windfall? Like, all the things I would love to buy, like, go.
Well, part of this presentation, too, is the fact this isn't a promise. I mean, maybe next year the board might have to look a hole in the rate. I know you're making decisions for future board members and stuff, but that's... But this is where staff thinks that we're landing right now, and I actually I'm glad that we're landing here, especially at this time with the economy and everything. I'm glad we can recommend that we accept the raise. As far as we know now, these numbers are
good.
So, by the way, I want to clarify, when I said CPAs aren't perfect, I didn't mean Child Richards. I mean CPAs. And I'm pointing at
me. You're the one that said that.
So, I was pointing at me. Our firm's just great.
Yeah. No, but I will do it. But this is where I like to lean in on that level of expertise to say that's something that I'm going to trust much more than just, giving it a best shot. To have them say, like, we think that this is sustainable, and when we look at you guys projection-wise over the next 5 years, even going back to pre-balloon periods, this would still put you on the same operational track with more typical rates of inflation. Even if you just take those last 2 years out as outliers, the five-year numbers track on that. So that was more comfortable on the CPA side.
So lastly, from then I'll shut up for a while, but I agree. I think these two methods are very close, and they're just two methods of calculating to a very similar number. They're fine, in my mind. I also kind of think that if, as real estate, and it's not just real estate, but that's where we get our property tax from, but as real estate levels, but we see other things level out, and even, for example, the unemployment rate in Utah has risen to 2.4 from 2.0, makes it so that there's a little bit more opportunity. How do I say that? Anyway, it's not the dollars chasing a job as much, and it actually doesn't put as much pressure on increased wages. So I'm thinking, like you said, Chief, that this might start to taper down. I am a little worried that a year from now, though, we will still experience some inflation that could require more than a 3% raise to stay even, but it probably wouldn't be 15%. And so I would caution that the growth of our workforce is a difficult thing at this point, because that's the one area that once you hire them, you're stuck with that, and that we should be really careful in that. But I don't know the rationale yet for what you're proposing, but that area is tough. Some of the other areas are difficult to have much impact on. So anyway, I'll be quiet with that.
Chief thank Williams, you. Oh, thank you, Gary. Chief Williams, do you want to talk to that, or to just speak to just, or
can you just keep taking stuff off? Maybe you make sure you have a comment before I.
Sure. Mayor Matson. Mayor, are you still there?
Yes, I just had unmute.
Okay, well, I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing out if you wanted to comment or jump in here.
Nope, I'm just listening.
Okay, we had muted it for a minute because we were hearing just the background stuff in your home and we were having audio conflicting, so.
Yeah, I just have to walk around now and then because of my wounds.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll have to stay more in quiet part of the house.
Well, chime in whenever you would like to, Mayor. I think Gary had asked a good question about the rationale for the positions, but also the tie on wages and just the dynamics between those two. Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know if it was going to be addressed later. Really, it becomes we've talked about when we met with each of the individuals to try to notify a few of the issues of burnout and the staffing and how we can keep those levels. And that's why some of the things that we brought up that you know compresses that is for you know the things we've talked to you for. How do we set people on training? How do we have sick? We have three positions every day that you should count to be gone. So to the staffing need, that's a huge need to keep up with putting people in the trucks to respond to calls. I mean, providing the service. That's really where the staffing comes down to, is putting people in the units that we have so they can respond to the calls. And that becomes a real challenge. Like we discussed last time, that call at West Point, I was going home, we only had one medic that day. It's stuff like that. Fortunately, I was nearby. It does, I can't say it doesn't affect the service we provide, but potentially it could if things arrange themselves. You get a worker's comp, you get a female that's pregnant, and then you have the sick leave, and then you have the vacation days, and all that starts to compress the staffing. So that's why we believe this, to address the staffing with what we're proposing, is a real need right now. And the wages, I think we've talked about the wages. I'm fearful that if we don't stay up with in the ballpark, close to that top end, that's where the retainment becomes a problem. To retain great employees. I know we talked to each of you. You can all think of a rock star that you have in your business or in your job, and if you lose them, how hard it hits your department. So all that is built upon the real needs that we do have. Is that what you want me to speak to, or have I missed the question?
Well, I mean, I would ask Gary.
Gary, sorry.
Yeah, what you said is all understandable. Thank you. I wonder if Is it simply said that a component of this is trying to have more permanent employees rather than having to rely on part-time wages because it's also been so difficult to fill spots with those?
Yeah, I think that's a great component because last month we were full at 15 and now we've lost 5 within the last month for different reasons.
Part-time
employees, yeah.
Yeah, so then you don't your pool to pull from is less.
Correct. And then, you know, obviously you have the overtime budget, which is a huge when you're doing mandatory, you're having all these people come in to fill those positions because you do have to keep at a certain level, which creates now people coming in for overtime. So that's a great point. You should see, obviously the more full-time we have, reduce the need for part-time, but still with that, we still have part-time slots open to help backfill the best they can. The problem is it's not reliable, right? We used to have what's called a permanent part-time position. We've lost those. We don't have any of those. So that's, yeah, I think we've answered
and
that.
I think to add to that, Chief, I know we're not getting into the weeds of the whole tentative budget and operations or whatever, but Gary just... We didn't want to make a shell game here where we're asking for this many full-time people and then we're going to ask this much less in overtime and this much less in part-time wages because I'm going to ask for a budget amendment in June for our wages now. And it's like I would rather just, I just left a, I don't want to call it a cushion, but a cushion, because we find ourselves in this situation now. Part of it, too, is the board asked, tell us what your needs are. And these are needs. Unfortunately, they're expensive needs, employees are. But that's a need of the district. We ran 200 more calls just this last year. It's not getting slower. There's building going on. But I think that it's also a very good investment back into the organization. So I'll just share with you a quick comment the other day. Syracuse's fire chief called me. He said, Chief, I got one of my city councilmen, or it was a mayor or something, asked me to ask you this. I know the answer is going to be no, but I got to ask you because I told him I'd call you. Mm-hmm. I said, what's that? He said, you know, we're building that hospital over here in Syracuse, that ER. I said, yeah. He says, what would be the chances of NDFD running, taking half the transports out of there? I said, they'd be really good if you give me 6 employees and an ambulance. Otherwise.
But you know what's ironic about that? They'll likely not be able to fulfill their need, and we'll likely backfill that. He's asking, but more likely if that ambulance is out and dispatch
it's
comes
mutual
in.
Aid anyway.
Okay. Yep. So which,
do we get paid for that mutual aid?
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
At that point.
We do, but that's, I already have 2 ambulances up there that are busy anyway.
But now it creates, when ours is gone, now Clinton, it's a game. See how it plays
and
out.
And I'm like, we're not going to send our units out of our community that our people are paying for, or they're not going to be available because your governing body doesn't want to buy more employees.
Gary, I think another good aspect that is sometimes overlooked, when we created the paramedic program, we hired a certain amount, and just like them, they have to take a vacation, they can be sick. So what happens when one of them leaves? We don't have anyone to backfill it. Well, we're doing the best we can to send some to school. So what that does, theoretically, is you take 3, send them to school. They were working on an ambulance at the time. Now you just put them on a paramedic truck and to help backfill the paramedic program. Now who fills the 3 spots that we just removed from the ambulance? It's a great thing we're doing, but yet we don't have anyone to fill those 3 positions. So that's another dynamic that we're trying to do with the staffing, is how do we manage all of it and put those individuals, especially the medics, it's hard. The only way they can take a day off is vacation or have a trade with another medic, but we don't have other medics. So it creates a challenge with the medics. So I think that's important, just to kind of think of these are some of the things that we're dealing with, trying to deal with the staffing.
You know, to me, there's another facet that I see, too, and I think you mentioned, what is it, morale or something like that, and I think we know there's, you know, if you just look at whether firefighters or whatever, why you stay in your job, we usually talk about 3 things, salary, benefits, and culture or environment or something like that, and when you get firefighters that are stressed out, feel like they can't take vacation, or I come to work sick or something like that because there's no replacement, that leg of the morale is really damaged. And so you may pay them, give them a 15% raise, but say, hey, North Davis is just working the ragged, and that's not the kind of lifestyle I want. You know? So right. So adding that, to me, that's when they said they wanted to add those. I thought, this helps alleviate. If you express several reasons why it can happen, but still, you know, you eventually just say, I didn't sign on to constantly working overtime.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I wish we could be like police, where we could hire one at a time and slowly add these in. And with a fire department, you have 3 platoons, you have to add the 3. It doesn't work that way. And so it's a little bit different dynamic than most career jobs, where you have to add the 3. So.
And we actually used you guys as an example in Clearville, because police brought us 4 is what they need. And they're like, we think if we're really good with numbers, we can eke out 2. And I was like, we can't do fractions. You know, it's like it's in multiples of three or nothing on there. But yeah, I guess we can divide police easier.
Right. Yeah. Jared, do you want me to try to move through this pretty fast?
Yeah, because I say we're a little over, but it's also, this is where I'd rather, I mean, if we're going to go over, like this is,
okay.
Yeah, this is the overview on operations important to hit.
The next page, I'll just go over ambulance revenue really quick. We've crunched and crunched and crunched and worked hours with First Professional. Last year, in last fiscal year, we collected $1.138 million in ambulance revenue. And if you remember right, we didn't have the whole paramedic service for that full year. So we lost out on collecting about $50,000 to $60,000 in PMA fees, which I know that's not a lot of money, but still it's $50,000. So, First Professional, we're averaging about we're billing an average of $400 more per transport right now. They project that by the end of this year we will receive 1.6, and fiscal in 2024, 1.7. We're saying that we want to budget, we're going to budget 1.55 in this next budget.
We jumped three slides really fast here.
Sorry, I went to this. This is just, this is their document. This isn't ours. And with that, we did not count. I just want called out a note here. You guys are aware that the Bureau usually does a 3 to 5% increase every July that we, by policy, we automatically adopt. We didn't even count that percentage in to collections. We just did the projections that they were giving us They're pretty rock solid numbers, so we feel good. And we didn't use the full projection; we only used half of it, half of the projection that they of the overage that they would give us.
Well, I think it's important. You know, it's so exciting to see this. You know, better being able to collect and recover. You know, the cost that we're expending on revenue. But I appreciate that there's. We're not going off of Child Richard's number in this, that it's significantly scaled back, just in caution, since this is a change to this. I'd rather have that returned and know that we came in good rather than having to budget them in. You know, we've had to deal with that, with IRIS, in years past, where they told us to expect one thing and it was off. So I'm glad that there's that buffering there.
So with these options, I'm on the revenues page. We highlighted some of the big changes to call out them. So ambulance would be 1.5. This interest income is one-time money, and it's being counted as one-time money. They actually took the Fed rate by our balance. Now, next year we will have bought a building, so we won't get that again the following year.
Yeah, this is our balance of the bond that's still in our bank, so to speak. We're earning interest.
Yeah, and I think he said, does 5% sound right or something?
Close.
Anyway, at first we roughly said 160, but this is, he said, no, it's, this is Child Richards. No, it's 180. You have to, well, it doesn't really matter because it's kind of restricted money. We're not using it in the operational budget, but I did want to highlight it and say, hey, that's returning to capital. The following year, it might be $10,000 again or whatever. But he did say we've been really on our impact fees. We've been skittish for a long time, and rightfully so. But he did say. He recommended that we up that number 75. We're on target easily this year for that. Well, considerably more. Yeah. I know of, and I know we got burned by counting a project once and it didn't go, but these projects, Darren, or Chief Williams, has already billed the school district for both schools in West Point. That's 30, is that 30 or 40 grand?
It's all over 30,000.
30,000, and then what's that West Point project?
The South Grass, that'll be 262 town halls, so that'll be over 30,000.
So that's just one city's.
Yeah, so thank you, West Point.
Yeah, like, thank you.
But that's actually in this year's budget, but it doesn't matter because that's restricted funds anyway.
Yeah, and the same with this, isn't it? It kind of doesn't matter sometimes what number we put there because it's just going to go into an impact fee bank. It's not,
right.
It's not so increasing what we're spending in the regular budget. No. So I get it and I appreciate that actually. And
it's just good to see where we depleted it to make that station and we can kind of start putting a large chunk back in because that was a little scary thinking, well, it's going to take time. So this is, it's good,
right?
That we could put so much in using so much. So.
So then here you can see our, that is our fee in lieu, that's our taxes, that's our RDA, and that's last year, if you recall, our RDA was contribution was like 400,000 and it's reduced by 60,000. So it just reflects that, it's a wash, but, and so the difference between the two budget, we had option one and option two, whatever the board felt comfortable with. But basically, if you look at this sheet right here, that 230,000, that's being contributed to, that's the that 180,000 of interest income and 50,000 that we had already budgeted for capital to put into capital improvements. That's being put into capital improvements plan, plus whatever the board in the future decides to allocate to that. And then which leaves 7.746. I'm not gonna go with the total number because that's counting restricted funds. But I don't have the last page on here, though. Do I miss any?
You started the transfer back?
The transfer back
is still on the expenditure page. The transfer back for option one is projected.
Oh, you're right. So here's the transfer back for option two, $194,578. And for option one, 207,814, and that's with four employees. I'm talking the big ticket items. Four employees contributing to the fund, the wage study, and then there's some, when we have more time, there's some more line items that went up, you know. 5 to 6, we don't have the numbers yet. We counted a 5 to 6% health insurance increase, workman's comp liability, a certain percentage increase. Hope if they come in better, that'd be great. But that's where it's falling right now. I know I went through that kind of quick, but does anybody have any questions about any certain possible line items or anything? If we did have time to talk about it, I would refer to one, which we can talk in the future, our vehicle maintenance. That's one we need to talk about. It's just a big one. There was a couple other ones that it's pennies as far as the big part of the budget, but I'll share one with you that the chair, like this year, our awards banquet has grown to, it's pretty big. And like I told the sheriff, we're going to have to get a box lunch and do it in the bay because it's not, we don't, you know, and we're like, no, we're, that's the one time we do this. So we added revenue or expenditures in those key places where that's just the cost of doing business. But other than that, it's fully transparent and
balanced.
Yeah, and balanced and returning money.
I have one other question, if I can. I know we're going to talk about some things more down the road, so I noticed there's a couple of places, and maybe it's because categories have changed, so where there's not a budgeted in 2023 number compared to what's being budgeted here. So if those numbers exist and can be included as we move forward, that'd be great. If they've just been moved around and they don't match up anymore, that's fine. But
yeah,
I mean, I'll give one example, and I'm not asking for an explanation, but travel and training doesn't have a number for the prior year. So anyway, if those can be added, that'd be great.
They can.
My part, just trying to get it out.
The other thing too, Gary, though,
they're not the topic for today.
Well, the other thing,
you'll have it for next month.
Yeah, they're not the topic for today. I get that. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. And there is one other change I'd like to just share with you. I'm going to give an attaboy to Chief Williams. We're collecting on these inspection fees. He's already collected over double in just the short time we put in than we ever have. Now, it's not going to offset the whole thing, but those are restricted funds, which easily pay for himself and a deputy fire marshal. But we have to separate those. So like the travel and training or the subscriptions or anything that has to do with fire prevention, code enforcement, and public education, we made into a separate line item because all of those funds qualified for those activities. When you have a fee, I believe by state statute, you have to use that fee for those.
Yep.
So there'll be a change. You'll notice it if you go through a line item in that in those areas too.
Okay. Any other questions? There's a lot to chew on there. That's the
Is there? So the only thing that I think, Chair, is does the board just want staff to keep marching forward with next month's capital?
Yeah, no, I think with this one it was, were there, you know, immediate concerns about even just the approach that went into this that were fundamentally different or concerning enough where to roll into April with, you know, really going into capital and reserves and all that kind of stuff based on this approach right here would be problematic? And so it was to take an idea of just everyone kind of sees where we're at right now. No decisions. We are still very early on this, but just if there were some immediate fundamental philosophical concerns, this would be the place to raise that and so that, you know, that would directly impact changes that could be considered for April and what that might look like.
Yeah, is there any feedback that from this presentation you'd like us to address in the next or?
Well, I appreciate Gary's, and again, I add my apologies to that, that, and we can have this out very soon because that was our original intent and was to just the normal every, you know, line by line.
Actually, Mariah's doing that.
With the, yes. So it has like the previous couple of years, so you can see, previous budget, previous actuals, just the normal things so that you can just track growth within all of those.
And that's fine. That's fine. That wasn't tonight's goal.
So, but just so that it's there all the way through it rather than just, you know, in May if all of a sudden something's like, well, wait a minute. These are our smaller items, but of concern if we're seeing a huge drop of like, I'd love to go to a training for something in Florida also. Like, you know, like, why are we, I don't know, that'd be a great thing to be like, all trainings now have to be someplace warm and tropical. That'd be a great, great thing. Okay.
Anyone else?
One question. What's ImageTran?
That is our software that we use to do our medical reporting on calls. It automatically reports to the hospital and to the state, but it also does our code enforcement and our national and state required fire reporting when we go on fire calls. That's kind of a good summary.
Yeah, and then we You got one aspect of it that we purchased. There's a lot of, you can do a lot with it, was to get data so we can see, it's called a continuum, and that way we can pull data from it where we didn't have that before. So that was another, it really encompasses everything that our fire department does, has a lot of great things. So yeah, that's
always a big ticket item. So
it's super, yeah, it is.
Something. Yeah, and that's actually the state's, that's the state's software, reporting software, and it's actually most, I think all the departments around us, that's...
Everybody uses it, yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Are we good to roll into policy, or does anyone need to take a quick break? Are we good? Are we good?
Roll.
Okay. Okay. So, as of 7:05, we are into policy. And Mayor, we're just checking in on you. We're still thinking of you. Haven't forgotten that you're there.
I'm here.
Awesome. Hey, thank you. Okay, well, we still have everyone here, and we are so grateful that Nancy was able to join us, and we appreciate you dealing with traffic. It was just been awful this whole week on I-15.
Mark's
so.
Not here.
Oh, I know. Thank you. And also that the mayor needed to step away. Thank you, Mayor, for mentioning that, because we're running 50%. How are we doing? Okay, Misty, this evening, who had the invitation gone to for the invocation or solemn moment of reflection, whatever they are?
It's kind of funny because I thought Chief Beepcraft said that he was going to do it, but now I'm thinking he was teasing the other day, so I'm not sure. So Chief Williams.
What do you do? Just give a thought? All right.
Yeah, share anything that you would like to do. That is a personal choice.
Do you mind if I give one of my, I mean, I... Some for Theodore Roosevelt? All right, I'm just gonna do it because I like this. And I don't know if it's specific to this, but it's called The Man in the Arena. So if you've heard this, I think it's great. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who was actually in the arena, whose face is marked by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there's no effort without error or shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of the highest achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails, while daring greatly. So that is the place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory or defeat, the man in the arena. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Chief.
Sorry.
Thanks.
That's all I could come up with quick.
That was great.
And we've got several flags, but there's one behind you as well.
Thank goodness. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for taking that for us, Chief. We appreciate it. Okay, well, we've got citizens here. Would any of you gentlemen care to comment? Well, you're welcome. Yeah. Okay. Next item then we have is the approval of minutes. This is there.
We're going to ask that we table, but we didn't get quite the show.
Okay. Okay.
I'll make a motion to table.
Thank you. Do you have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed?
Yeah, I would remind her.
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
Sorry, it really helps. It's going to help Jamie as well. Thank you.
You bet. And it was Gary on the motion and then Mayor Vincent on the second. Item number 6 is a consideration approval of the North Davis Fire District bills for February 2023. Any comments or items of note?
With no comments, Chair, I'd make a motion that we approve the bills for February 2023.
Okay, we have a motion from Scott and a second from Vern. It did sound a little Bueller. And I love that all of us here would love to understand that reference. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
And thank you, Mayor. And any opposed? Okay, thank you. Item number 7 is the consideration of the approval for the bills for this past month.
The finance report?
Financial report.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we just did the bills. Finish.
Just a couple highlighted things. Just wanted to note on revenues. So we're 70% right now this time of year. We're on track with ambulance revenue. As you can see, we're at 94.5% with property tax. And fee in lieu, we're moving ahead. The I just wanted to give a shout out to Chief Williams. As you can see on the inspection fees, we budgeted $1,000 and we're like at 516% because we've collected like in what, 3 months.
It should be a shout out to everybody. You guys allow that. So
yeah.
I'm not going to take credit. So it's only because you allowed us to start collecting that. So.
Well, and I hope that it also, maybe the word isn't less, makes you less busy, but just prevents some of the redundancy. I mean, you put a dollar amount above it and you're not going to have repeat offenders like Lotus calling you every 5 seconds of, super square this time, sprinklers ready to go.
Yeah. No, it has. We had a situation in Sunset where he wasn't happy. A lot of this, we're introducing it. They've never had this before. Not everybody's happy about it. It takes a great deal of explanation. When this was a restaurant where I'll try to explain, you have a kitchen hood, it's expensive. I don't mean to go into explanation, but I think it's important you understand how I approach the public. You add that into the cost of the food you sell, and it's no different than us. We provide emergency services, but there's also a cost inherently to the fire marshal's position. And she was upset, we explained it, and then I said, well, there's also a reinspection that will be the same amount. And I waived it because she was so upset. Sometimes you take a hit like that to keep a happy customer in your city. I waived it, and I said, well, I'm likely the next time you have something minor, it was actually kind of big that she had to get done, you'll probably likely have this ready the next time I come. She said, well, I'll guarantee it. So to your point, it does have an effect on multiple sides to get compliance, and that's all we're trying to do. We're really not trying to make a living off of them. It's just trying to provide a kickback for us for the services we provide. So anyway, really thank you to you guys for allowing that. So
the other couple things, medical supplies, that just means we're busier, but we're probably going to have to amend for medical supplies. We're doing just-in-time ordering, and the fluctuation in cost has just skyrocketed. Anyway, I just wanted to call that out to the board. And last but not least, vehicle maintenance. We're still kicking that. It's expensive, so we'll have to take a look at that in June as well. But other than that's all I have.
Don't want to speak to the evaluations that we were doing.
Oh, yeah, if you want to just talk to them.
So we got back the evaluations last month. We talked about how we wanted to send truck 41, the oldest one we have in our fleet, and then truck 42. After our meeting we had with them, and they sent me back some numbers on those two. We don't need to get to the exact numbers unless you want me to tell you. I'm not sure when to approach it. But the recommendation is to sell truck 41, our oldest one, mainly because getting parts, they can't get the parts for it, which causes when they have to find the part, there's an increase. And so their recommendation is not to fix it. If you don't mind, do you mind if I share the number? I mean, yeah. There's no nothing to hide.
Yeah, they're going to need to know.
The recommendation to fix it was $46,000. That's just to get it where it needs to be. And there's things that we could do to help fix things, but $46,000, I asked, I was like, well, just like any of us, should we fix it and then sell it or get partially fixed? It's like, no, just sell it the way it is. Someone will take it. And so me and the chief have a discussion on how that's going to go, but we agree with his recommendation. Truck 42, which we need to keep, that's our ladder until we get the other one. The figure for that, and he did a good job of breaking it down. So there's some items that we can fix. There's some minor things. But to get that up and running is $31,786. So that's to get that for the next 3 years. So what I had asked him, tell me the ones that we got to get after soon. And he gave me a list. I showed him today. There's some things that can wait. But those are the figures and where we're at with those two apparatus from the evaluations.
And to add to that, that's not in service. That's just to get it where we want it to be, you know. So
I can answer questions. I don't think I'm going to tell what needs to be fixed.
So truck 41 was just going to be repaired and brought as a backup. Is that a correct statement?
Truck 42.
No, 42.
Well, 41 is a reserve, so if the ladder truck goes down, we have something to move into. So when we lose 41, we will not have a reserve ladder truck. We'll go into the reserve engine 42, which is old also, but at least we have to have something to move into when it goes in for a repair.
For any apparatus.
So was that the question you had?
The one that they suggested we sell, which one's that?
Truck 41.
And that's?
That's a ladder truck.
Okay.
Sorry. I come in Weber County, they call them ladders. Here they call them trucks in Davis County. So it's a ladder truck. Yeah, sorry. Gary, do you have a question?
Well, I just clarifying. If I recall, what you're talking about here is that you'd asked him to tell us not these aren't broken at the moment, or they might be broken to some extent, but they're not. This isn't what's broken now. I'm asking a question. But what likely these trucks will need over the next 3 years?
Correct.
So the $46,000 repair isn't that it's in the shop, it's disabled, and let's sell it. It's that this is what's coming, so let's sell it.
Correct. And then there are parts of it, like he line item. There are like, say, six items that really need to be addressed now. For instance, the fuel pump in truck 42 was going out. He said you were a minute away from that catastrophically taking out the top end of it. So you got lucky we took it down at the point. They were able to fix it. Now it was a large expense, but we stopped it from
$6,000.
Yeah.
But by not repairing it, the outcome could have been five times that much.
Yeah, it would have taken out the top end. Anyway, so there's portions we have to get on sooner than later, and we can do that in phases. And there's some things maybe we can do, but that's, I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I understood what's now versus down the road. And the truck two with $36,000, a little over $10,000 a year. But the other thing you said, Chief, that doesn't include regular maintenance.
No,
there will be more on top of that.
Exactly. And he actually gave us, you know, we discussed, they gave us a percentage how much you should budget for. So if a truck is $500,000, they give you a 20 and 15 year sort of like, do we want it for 20 years or do we want to keep it for 15? And they give you a percentage. For instance, I'll just give you on a $500,000 truck, which are more than that, they say average $12,000 per year on top of what you're mentioning. Oil changes, tires, and everything else that goes with it. And that just goes up the more expensive the truck is.
Well, those are great numbers because we can use those to budget, right? I mean, that's what you were saying last time. That's awesome.
What the only caveat, and we can talk about this next month when we talk about capital projects and plans, is some of those numbers, and I'll just want the board's feedback. I'd like to put them in the CIP. Well, we might not spend that $12,000 that year. I don't. It'll inflate our normal budget up so much. You know what I mean? But yes, you're correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And those are recommendations. I mean, there's an inherent risk. We can lower that. They're just telling us what they've seen throughout the country that works for others. So.
No, but I mean, to your credit, Chief Williams, though, when vehicle maintenance in particular has been really problematic the last couple of years, and we just keep getting hit with zings. You know, Chief initiated this to be able to get some recommendations on what we would start putting in so that we weren't just having to budget them in as much, and to get some kind of a benchmarking, especially as we get ready in a couple of years to bring on, you know, our big new ladder that'll be here eventually, many moons from now. To know that, I mean, just right out of the gate, you know, what are we needing to stockpile on this and start setting aside, even if we, you know, build up quite a chunk of money, but internally restrict that so that the first big $30,000 or $50,000, you know, year or hit on that isn't a budget amend, you know, mid-year. It would be,
yeah, it's a good point because within the first few years you have warranties. And it's great, it will cover most everything, but as soon as that warranty goes out the door, then it's like, boom, here we go. And if we're not prepared for it, we'll have to budget a man. We won't have the funds for it.
Yeah, but I mean, but to have, you know, $30,000 or $50,000 sitting in there, you know, when that warranty expires and just know that you've got that. I mean, it's.
And the challenge will be for all the rigs, like the fire trucks and all these ones we've got. It's going to take some time to plan for that. So it's not just a few. It's all that we have in the fleet. So yeah, just some good feedback that we got, and now we can move forward and try to create some type of an informed plan and put us in a good spot. So
that's all I have as far as the finance.
Okay. Chief report? Oh, sorry.
I'll make the motion
Thank
to
you.
Approve the financial report.
And I'll second it.
Thank you. We have a motion from Gary and a second from Let Me Open Some
Doors. It is.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, Mayor. Okay. And then for the Chief's report.
Anika?
Yes, Mayor.
I need to withdraw from the meeting. I have a few problems here.
Absolutely. Mayor, we appreciate having you here and hope you have a good rest of your evening.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Now that we've actually approved item number 7, I feel comfortable now stepping toward item number 8. Whoever of you guys would like to take that.
I'll go first. I'll just be quick. Station 42 update. It's moving along great. We meet with them every other week. They've got all the footings poured, the pier aggregate pillars poured, and should be doing flat work within. They've got all the plumbing and conduit in the ground, and should be pouring the flat work within the next 2 weeks, at which time they're on target for steel, and we'll start seeing steel go up.
That's what I'm really excited for.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of other things going on, but it's...
When it starts going...
The generator's ordered. Yeah, so it's going well.
See, I'd love to have like a stick figure station or better from 4th of July when we come parading past you guys.
Oh, there'll be a building there.
That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, the landscaping and stuff might not be done, but there'll be one there. I already talked about DSD impact fees that we're collecting from West Point. Dispatch. We're dialing in on dispatch. Been working with Layton and Clearfield City. Clearfield City right now is going to be entering into an interlocal agreement with Layton City, and that's a similar interlocal agreement that I'll be bringing to the board. It won't have near as much detail. They got employees and stuff that they're moving. But we're on target with that, which, by the way, with the budget is it's 100. Well, last year, what was in our 3-year roll for budget? Was it going to be 160,000?
It would have been 134 this year.
And then it was going to jump again, right?
Yep.
It's 106 for the district. So we've already budgeted that in the tentative budget. Because as of July 1, that's going to be our fees to Layton. And then I just wanted to say the annual awards banquet went really well for all of you that were there. And we actually had, I got a bunch of compliments from not only you, the board, but the employees as well. And then afterwards, we met as a staff and kind of went over it but we can change it up a little bit next year and everything, but it went really well, and the employees and everybody appreciated it. So, thank you.
May I make a suggestion? It's 2 years in a row those steps have...
No.
You need to tell them.
We have.
We need to get that fixed. That's 2 years in a row we've almost tumbled off the stage.
No, have to bring your own or something. I don't know.
Right.
We're going to bring our own sound. We're going to bring our own sound system, too, so you can hear.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought it was wonderful. That was just humor. Yeah. Like, that's the second time we've...
I know, but we take it because, like, we pay a lot of money to provide good sound and a good event. And to have someone falls on that, and that's not good. So we have... I know Misty's talked to them, and they're going to... supposedly they're fixing it. We may have to do a test and send our firefighters over and go up and down 50 to 100 times and make sure, I don't know.
Put their backs on?
We have talked to them.
You've probably looked at other facilities, I hope.
Well, we have, and we, I wish there was a whole bunch of other ones. The Davis County Convention, that'd be more. Timbermine's more.
You have to move into the Ogden area.
And so, Warehouse 22, it is nice. The spot's good. You know what I mean? But
yeah. And that's not to say we haven't thought about it. That's something we'll definitely consider. We just, at the time, it just didn't work out to find another place.
So. But it's grown so, and Gary, you know it.
Yeah.
It's gotten so big. It's 120 people, or, you know what I mean? It's, Anyway, Chief Williams?
Sure. Just a few things, and then I'll go into a fire marshal's report. But I'd like to just really say appreciation to A-Shift on the ice rescue. I don't know if you heard about it.
Oh, wasn't that?
It was on the news. I don't know if you saw the link. But, you know, it's really satisfying for Chiefs. We obviously say thank you to them a lot. But what I really enjoy is having a news station come out. I mean, we had every one of them contact Chief Hadley, and he's the PIO, but he threw it down to Chief Hadley, and, which is good. He was the one that was there. So it just worked. They did just a phenomenal job. We're just super proud to be their chiefs and of such great people, and they did a remarkable job. And then they had planned a training day. They did kind of a surprise, and they'll do that often where a battalion chief or a captain, hey, the crew has no idea. And that second day, they just had that plan that we're gonna create a scenario where we have someone who's fallen in the ice. And they did that the second day. So Channel 5 was here. That's one, if you saw, it was on the news. I think all of them were contacted A-Shift. And so I'm just really proud of them. I think that's just good to be recognized. Another great thing that we're doing, we have a social media committee. And I don't know, I wasn't a big Facebook, I'm still not, but we're doing a really good job, and I think what I'm proud about is they don't get paid extra to take on these extra duties. And so our social media committee are posting things, they're doing a lot of funny videos to try to get the public involved, safety messages. It does take a lot of time, and they're doing a really good job. They did a fitness one, and what was kind of cool, we're going to challenge other fire departments to match a fitness challenge, just a lot of things like that.
So Workout Wednesday.
We're trying to, there's a lot of things that we're doing, but we're trying to be out. What's important is that we're out in the community, and that's a piece of it. So really proud of those who volunteer to do the extra duties to help our department to grow and to show the public what we're doing. That's really important.
Well, and I know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Kingsville City, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you guys have read them, probably the Kingsville City Fire Department. Mm-hmm. It's humorous, but it's educational as well, and I think that brings people to reading it more, and I think probably more fire detectors have probably been replaced in Kingsville over the last 6 months because of just that, the silly Facebook post. And so I think it's fun that you're going to be doing that. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're going
to
do, I don't do TikTok, but we take advantage of our youth and their, a lot of the skills that they have. And we're going to do TikTok videos because they're short and I don't know the ins and outs of it. But those are things we'll do.
Yeah.
So we're getting on that because it's a huge platform to promote our department. Mm-hmm. And I think for the citizens that we all serve and you as a board, you can speak to. I hope that someone runs into you somewhere and makes a comment, knowing that you're on the board, and you should feel pride in that, like we do. So,
we're going to help with also recruiting.
Yes. Yep.
So, yeah.
They've done a great job. Just super proud of our personnel now. They're just doing amazing things and continue to. And we brag about them, but that's what we like to do. Just kind of going into that, I'd like to go into a little bit of a fire marshal report. We are going to start a new pub ed program. It kind of went away. I come from a very robust program that's the longest going in the state in Ogden. I think it's super important we get into schools. And we've tasked Chief Youngberg to create a team again and characters. So in Ogden, you had Boots and Bunker. I've given him the latitude to create new characters. We don't really have anyone that's been solidified, so he's going to create a process where we select two clowns or team members that will go do that. And that's where
It'll be important to get on social media, TikTok, do funny videos, safety messages. But we're just in the process of creating that PubEd. That all sits under the fire marshal as far as fire prevention. And myself, and if we get a deputy fire marshal, we'll be over all that. And that's another huge important role that's really overlooked. I used to get teased a lot, well, how many fires you've been on as a deputy fire marshal? Used to make fun of me. Because, you know, being on a fire is really cool. And I said, well, how many fires have you not been on because of fire prevention? So it's one of those statistics that you never know the good you do. We do have a few. Chief, remember, we had a youth fire setter. So we're kind of after dividing up these tasks. We had a young man, I think it was a young man, start a fire, I think in a school. And so stuff like that. It's just really important that we're out in the public and teaching these kids a lot of these safety principles. So that's a really good thing we're doing. The state has adopted the new 21 fire code. So this board, when July hits, that's when it becomes effective in the state. We'll have to adopt the new fire code, the 2021, and the appendices. So that's just coming up, FYI. We're already starting to get burn permits. So you're going to start seeing March 30th to the end of May 30th. We're going to be getting a lot of burn permits. I'm already getting calls on recreational fires. Just remember that in Sunset, you guys only allow recreational fires. There's no open burn. There's no ag burns. West Point and Clearfield, you're open to all of it. But those are starting to come out. So we'll start seeing smoke in the air, either ag burns or direct recreational fires. So, and we do permitting for that. So we're trying to create a process where we can get eyes on it. That's something that's regulated by the county to make sure that the air quality is good. So, but that's starting to kick off. We've already started to plan for the 4th of July celebrations. One change that this board adopted is charging standby fees. It's kind of a sore subject. I know West Point wasn't happy with it. Kyle wasn't happy. And we're willing to work with them. And we understand that cities have a budget. We're not just going to roll this out and say black and white. We're trying to get this antiquated to the new process. And it's being receptive well. They understand it. They just weren't budgeted for it. So at this point, we'll work with the cities and try to recover some of that cost of the overtime, because really, it's a huge cost to do those events.
See, and I'm from Clearfield, and I'm like, bill us.
Well,
I mean, that's my thing, is bill us.
So,
because we kind of hit our staff. I mean, I look at what we do to our city staff in Clearfield. It is mandatory, all hands on deck.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is a holiday that it's not like, okay, you know, this year I may not be with my family, but, you know, maybe next year. It is.
Yeah.
Every 4th of July, it is this to do this for our community, because our community every year says, this is our jam. We want to do this. Please come do it. But it is. It's you're there. It's overtime. It's holiday. It's all those kind of things. Send us a bill.
Yeah. And part of that, we're not charging for all. Like, what we're trying to do is a standby. You charge when you have a dedicated ambulance and a dedicated fire truck. And actually, on the 4th of July, we have way more than that. You have a brush truck. So we're capturing a small percentage of the amount of the overtime. So it's not, we still have to provide, see, the calls still go on outside of the event. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we have some people dedicated for the incident. So if you have a medical call, a fire going on with the fireworks, that gets addressed. Outside of that, you still have the car accidents, the cardiac arrest. So we still do that. We're just trying to capture a portion of that.
Yeah, there's an MMA fight tomorrow at Clearfield High.
So this is the first time we've charged. They want us to have an ambulance crew there.
It's not an emergency
service, so we're charging them, and we charge, I'll just tell you, we charge $250 an hour for an ambulance. That's the personnel. And we used that. We just to come up with the figure. We went out to other departments and see where their rates were, and that's how we came up with the figure. If you're having a fire crew, for instance, if somebody wants just a fire truck there and three personnel, it's $350 per hour. And that was pretty average throughout other jurisdictions. So, but that's new. We're introducing this. Not everybody's happy. We're trying to be the best we can to explain it and sometimes give, you know, some latitude, like we did that with West Point this year, because we feel like that's just doing good business. If we don't, we're just trying to capture a portion of the services and to help with that overtime budget. Any questions of that?
Don't bill us.
I got a question.
Yeah.
When did we adopt that?
It was part of the consolidated fee schedule.
Yes, but when did we
I mean, the standby fees was part of that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, July, January, so January 1.
But we never had it. I remember the introduction to the topic. Mm-hmm. And no recommendations were made at that time. And I knew that was an adopted thing. But I didn't know we'd come back to billing the cities. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
I remember...
Well, you're yeah.
So hey, help me, yeah. I'm just gonna ask a question. When was it decided that we would bill the cities for the fireworks thing? I remember getting the paper and I went over the paper.
And we also know.
Well, that's inherently who's asking for the services. Whoever asks, like this MMA fighting.
Yeah.
The company's asking, so that's who. So it's whoever asking for that standby. Like for your day event for what to call it, I don't remember.
Party point.
So if you want a dedicated ambulance there for the day, now you don't have to do that. You could say, well, this just we don't want to do that. We'll just have people respond in if you get a call. So it's really what you want. If you want a dedicated ambulance for personnel, the city is who's requesting it. So it's whoever requests it. So the cities are requesting for the 4th of July. Outside of that, it's whoever is requesting it. So normally in a city, if you had a fire department just for the city, typically there's overtime. You would budget for the overtime within the city because that's really what we're doing here.
Right.
We're just trying to help with the overtime, and so a city will budget for that overtime to provide the EMS or the fire for that. We don't, obviously we're a district, we're separate.
Sure. That, so I guess you can talk me through this here. If it was a commercial business that was asking for it or an event like this MMA fight, I could absolutely understand charging a standby fee with it. But we're already billing, taxing the citizens for the fire service and ambulance service here, that this is, you're essentially our fire department with that. So I would have thought for city functions, we're going to bill the citizens essentially again, because if West Point has to pay for that. We're taxing the citizens on top of what they're already being taxed for to have a fire service and an ambulance service with it. If we were a city and we were doing it, you're right. That would be built into our budget. Why can't we build that into the budget here to cover city functions like that and have that be part of our budget rather than...
Well, just, my explanation is the taxpayers pay for emergency services, and there's a lot of extra duties that we do. So that's how I would explain
it. They're user fees.
If we want to start budgeting that, we can, but typically this is how it's done with districts. For instance, like Weber Fire, any district, they'll build the cities, because not everybody uses it, like say, West Point or Clearfield. Like Sunset doesn't have... near the event that you guys would. So it's up for discussion, but we brought that up. I thought it was discussed and approved.
I don't remember it being approved.
I went back through every minute to find out, because I got an earful today too.
Okay.
It's more he wants to know why didn't you share this with us? And I said, because nothing was approved yet.
Yeah.
We had a discussion, and the minutes state no recommendations were made by the board. So, I was curious of when did
they
adopted
the fee schedule?
Well, I went back to the fee schedule and I said there is these two line items in the fee schedule for standby, but I didn't know that we were going forward with billing the cities on this.
I know we discussed, and I'm trying to recall back the best I can.
Me
I know,
too. That's
I know,
okay.
Yeah,
I need help.
It's okay. No, and I want to do the right thing. You understand where we're coming from. I mean, and I can't speak to exactly how it went down. I know we discussed, I think in the minutes, charging for the permits. So when we do a fireworks display, we have never charged for that either, for the time for the display. I thought that was discussed, because that's the other piece of it.
That was my recollection too. And I remember our discussion was, do we bill the city for that inspection because they're doing the fireworks, or do we bill the fireworks company themselves? And in the end, it didn't really matter. We build a fireworks company, they're just going to pass it straight through to the city, so you can build the city. Yeah, and I remember that discussion saying either way, we're going to pay for it, whether it's in our bill to the fireworks group or you just build the city saying that we're going to do that. and I think that was part of the same discussion.
Okay.
Of that, what, if I recall, right?
Yeah, and I don't know where to go from here unless we need to.
Well, I would. My recommendation would be two things. One, it'd be worth going back and looking to the audio and just make sure that where recollections and minutes meet, like that we're on the same page, first of all, number one. Number two, this board at any time can say, and I'd be totally amenable to it, to say, of the consolidated fee schedule for next month even, let's bring back and look at the city portion if it sounds like that there's still concern about in the adoption was, you know, whatever this bears it out. In the absence of very strenuous objection to whatever that it was just passed and that there were different assumptions as far as what that meant, we can bring that up and just say, let's revisit the city portion as a very specific item and as a board, I mean, like, vote on that exact item. I mean, like, we can adopt that and pull it out at any point.
I know I remember the discussion, and I remember personally being against it. This is a change of philosophy for the district, and that all didn't come out, and I felt like there was going to be another opportunity for more discussion because it was just being presented at that time. So I was like, okay, we'll have more discussion. And I think I missed a meeting last year, so I might have missed the meeting that took place. So I would
encourage
that. And maybe we should just bring that one item forward and have more discussion.
I think that'd be a great way to just have everybody weigh in on it, since it's, I don't want it to be like where there was ambiguity as far as like, nice job, you guys like slid that one through.
And this really is a change. I've been here for a while, a day or two. And over the years, the comments have been, we're your fire department, we'll do what you need us to do. But we also, meaning, we're going to show up, even as we brought Sunset on, we're your fire department, we're going to be there at the 4th of July and those kind of things. There's never been a discussion of a fee, but there's always a discussion of, we know that there has to be resources available for the community so that the bring to the 4th of July isn't bring at all, it's just what can be brought, right? And then of course when there's calls and everything, it goes out. So it is actually a change of philosophy, and I think that needs to be vetted out. We're the same taxpayers, and so if we're changing philosophy, we're really now asking taxpayers to pay for it again.
Well, I've often made the same argument with dispatch.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of different things. I agree. I'm not pushing back at all. I'm just saying somewhere, which is, that's okay if the board said, hey, but put that in your budget and let the district taxpayers pay that burden instead of the city taxpayers. It don't matter to us. I just want to be accountable for exactly what the overage is that it costs us, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I recall discussions in the past about some fees that Clearfield might charge for the district that ruffled some feathers because the district was being, and aren't we part of their fire department? Now it's the other way around. And I guess we're doing the same thing back.
Well, so no, we're making a point then that we can agree that there's a definite disagreement about what's happened.
Yeah.
And we could ask someone to be responsible to get the minutes from the meeting where that was discussed, and then possibly see if there's a way for when it was adopted, how it was presented, for the next time you meet, maybe in the meeting before.
Let's do it in April. That way discuss
it in the work session maybe for the next meeting when we have all the information and data in front of us. Is everyone cool with that?
Yep. And I wasn't being pointed. I didn't know if I'd missed it.
No, I know. And I, you know, maybe, I mean, it's just, you know.
I think it's definitely unintentional on our part and the board. I don't know the.
Who wants to be responsible for that?
Well, that's administrative.
It might be a big task, so I would also say April's ideal, but if it...
I think there's two requests here. I think at absolute minimum, let's agendize it for April to reopen and look at that as a possible action item and have a discussion. In addition to that, this is a good opportunity to say, to look at that and just see, as part of that process, what was, you know, was stuff missed? where was the disconnect, where were the assumptions on there, and then how do we correct that so that we're not rolling into that?
That's great.
But then, but if nothing else, there's an immediacy for you guys as far as having that, you know, settled as a board, and just making sure that everyone's on the same page that this is that.
Yep.
And then you guys can take that back.
And also, maybe if we can take care of it at that time, and it's something that the chief needs to reinstitute in his budget to cover those costs, if we all say we don't want to pay double taxation and pay that bill, then it gives him an opportunity in that next budget to maybe roll some of those numbers in there and present it to us in a different way possible. So.
But yeah, let's give up. We can just add that to the agenda on there.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Besides that, the fee schedule's working really good.
I think part for me when I say adopted, whenever it gets approved, and that I think, so I may not be using the term correctly, that the board approved it. I think to your point, and if maybe a failure on my part is to be specific about it. I think in general terms, when it goes out, you guys look through it. I think if you don't have questions, but to your point, I don't know if it was specifically addressed to the cities, and that's, I can see that now.
I don't think we have to assess blame. We can assume either way. So it's not an assumption of blame. It's just simply that we were on the same path, just different.
Well, I just thought I'd missed it. I just thought
so did Gary.
There was a part there that I just.
But I appreciate.
So did Scott.
Let's get it right. And again,
so did both of us. We're like.
Something new, and it's coming out, and it might have happened, and it's just a matter of it slipped over our minds too. And I'm concerned though about rolling into the budget of it, because that's indicating that everybody's going to use that service at some point, and we don't do that very often in our city too. So
okay, so it sounds like
sunset days. Do you guys have any?
Well, normally we have fireworks, but with something I'm going to discuss in the city minutes, we may not be able to even have that function this year. So if we don't, then
so when you had fireworks, have you had coverage?
What's ironic, because we got budgets.
Public people helping with parking and helping with fireworks and everything, and so
so it's funny, Ogden City, actually the fire department builds their own city. It's odd, but that's how the city will budget for it, and then the fire department gives them the fee for the standbys. So it's, like I said, it's all how you shuffle. My really, again, how we do it, if we can budget for it, it resolves it. If we could come up with those and...
We'll have a good discussion in April.
Anyway.
Well, I think we've got a lot to discuss. Yeah. Sorry. Before or against it?
No, it's good.
No.
But beyond that, other than that, I just want to talk about some developments real quick. I mean, I know we talked about in West Point, Saltgrass. I don't have a timeline, but they're moving real quick on it. I'm being pressed for plan reviews. That just got approved to your council last night, I believe, the Planning Commission.
Yeah.
It was talked about, right? Obviously, you see the Holly Oil going. So a lot of good things happening in West Point. And Sunset, they've got it approved. Well, I believe it's approved for 3 townhomes called Avery. And then Falcon Ridge is putting some tentative improvements underneath the apartments. Clearfield, it's still real busy. As far as some finaling, you have the Hillside Apartments that are ready to open up, Bravada Apartments. They're about getting ready to complete building C&D, and all those will be done. And then the Lotus Anthem, they're a few months out. So super busy. This is when it starts to warm up, the inspections start to ramp up. But the development seems to be doing real well in all three cities still. So other than that, I'm happy to entertain any questions on the fire marshal side or anything else that... beyond what we've discussed.
Thank you for your service.
I did want to talk about one. We had a situation in Clearfield, the daycare, where a fire alarm was pulled out several years ago. I guess what I'm trying to do is say thank you again for the charging language that was approved by the board, because it gives us a little bit of leverage to help get people compliant. And again, it's just one indication that we came across a situation where if someone didn't want to do it, really we had no, we could do a stop work order, but it looks really bad when you have to kick 40 kids out of a daycare and their parents have to take them. So it's a way we work with people, but again, I'm just real appreciative that we accepted that charger. It does get people to move in the direction of getting it completed. Even though it's been a headache with this individual, it's going to get fixed and repaired, and those kids will be safe. So
I'm sorry, explain. Does that mean you fixed it for them and charged him?
No. The charging language is they can be fined a certain amount of dollars if they don't comply with the code.
Okay, so it's just enforcement to get them to comply.
Yes, yeah, sorry. You do a much better job of explaining it. Thank you.
One of the good things in the fee schedule that we agreed on, that we clearly covered, was allowing them to charge, in this case, a really steep per day fee.
Did we?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
It saved the children.
You send that to them, and it gets their attention pretty quick. And you don't want to shut a business down that affects several people. That's not what the fire code is for, and that's not our approach. However,
people to comply.
But in this situation, the individual could say, "No, what are you going to do to me?" And then that now forces to another level. But we're working on it, and it should be fixed here soon. So again, just those are the situations, and. I only called them out to say, again, good job on accepting that. So thank you.
That's March 23rd. It's being installed.
There you go. We got a date now.
Especially when you've got that many kids. Okay, was there anything else there? Okay, I haven't heard any requests on member city update.
I would like to do one to remind you, and maybe this affects what you were just talking about. Sunset City had the groundbreaking for the brand new junior high this week on Tuesday.
Yes.
So, if you haven't heard, it's going to be a very big and a very nice school. They're building it on the top level where the old football field used to be. So the whole entire school will be constructed while the kids are still going to school, similar to what they did with North Davis. Yeah.
Nice.
So once the school up there is done, there's going to be new bus loops and new entries and all kinds of stuff. But I would also assume, when you have that many people working on a job site, that it's going to mean an increase in our business as well. So,
The state likes me to tag along on every inspection on West Point. Like, I can't meet the demand. He's got every school he's asked me to go to, the charter schools, I can't meet
the demand. You got another one, because, they did the groundbreaking, they're going to go gangbusters on
it. It'll really make it nice over there.
Just so you know.
That's really cool.
Awesome.
Up and up.
Yeah.
You ready
motion?
For a motion?
Yeah.
The hat is on.
Yeah, he's out of there.
I'll second that hat.
Okay, motion from Gary, second from Scott. We don't even have to vote. We're done.
Good. Thank you so much, everyone.
See ya.
Yeah.
Okay,
Mayor, we'll let you guys know. So my apologies on that. It was probably something. The agenda is mine. And